Rich people want it. Poor people want it. Everybody wants change. Our country is really doing poorly. We're a laughing stock all over the world, and we're going to get that change very quickly.
While he was a political newcomer 8 years ago, former President Donald Trump has since completely recreated the United States Republican Party all in his image. There is no secret, there is a split in the conservative movement. Never Trumpers and America First are now butting heads from the primaries to the House floor to party leadership. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to discuss if the reward of electing President Trump is worth the risk of the entire RNC and the two-party political system in the United States. Let's get started. Donald J. Trump may be the Republican presumptive nominee, but former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley continues to be a thorn in Trump's side. She is still pulling double digits in state primaries, even after dropping out of the race one day after Super Tuesday. Now, this is causing speculation. There might actually be trouble when it comes to the vote at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, later this summer. Now, all of this comes following the ousting of Republican National Committee Chairwoman Ronna Romney McDaniel. And it seems she didn't go on her own. There was already discontentment with how Republicans have fared in the 2022 midterms and the special elections. The supposed red wave, well, it didn't materialize, with McDaniel's leadership as a point of blame. But even if she was partially removed for her past track record at the RNC, some think it was more of what she would or would not have done regarding support for the campaign and the administration of Donald J. Trump in the future. Now, I want to insert the new chairman of the RNC, an American lawyer and politician from North Carolina, Michael Whatley. And while his name is new to most Republicans, the vice chairwoman, daughter-in-law of the current presidential nominee, Laura Trump, is definitely the one garnering all the spotlight. Now, the first move being the firing of more than 60-plus staffers at the RNC and plans to move some of the operations to South Florida. Now, they must have done something right, because the Republican National Committee is celebrating the largest fundraising month in history, with Whatley and Laura Trump raising $65 million, $50 million just from one high-dollar fundraiser. Now, Donald Trump spoke about the mega-million-dollar success while at the event.
They wanted to contribute to a cause of making America great again, and that's what's happened. We're going to make America great again. Everyone knows it. The election's going to be in now a little more than 6 months, and it's going to be the most important, I believe, election we've ever had. I think it's going to go down as the most important date in the history of our country. That's November 5th, will be the most important date in the history of our country.
Sounds like a great discussion for our panel. So let's bring in Woodrow Johnson, GOO strategist and CEO of Revere Strategies, Angela Wong, co-host of The Final Countdown, and Ed Martin, president of the Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. Thank you so much for joining me. Great to see you, Ed. It's been a while. I know you've been busy dealing with everything on J6, so I'm going to start off with you. First of all, the fundraiser that was hosted by billionaire investor John Paulson at Mar-a-Lago in Florida absolutely blows away the $26 million fundraiser with three Democratic presidents, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and Bill Clinton in attendance that was just basically a week prior. How will this leadership team of the new RNC be different from the last one?
Well, Scotty, you know, you set it up right. I mean, the last time we were in a similar situation was 2016, because we had an open primary process. You described that. And I was on the RNC at that time, 2013 to 15. And so I saw the inside of the planning and how it works. And I just can tell you this, at this point in an election, after this primary, there Nikki Haley's name is on the ballot in some states. There's some places where there are some people still talking about other candidates, even DeSantis. But it's really coalesced around the candidate. And, you know, in 2016, there was Ted Cruz, who was still fighting, and there were people talking about, can we go to the convention and cause a problem? And that never really happened. I mean, there were a few people holding out. What you see with the money both the grassroots and the big dollar money, is the Republican Party sort of letting go of the possibility of there being anybody else. And so when you say, will it be different, the campaign has merged directly into the RNC now. It's being, you know, Chris LaCivita is the senior consultant, the campaign guy in the campaign for Trump. He's now running the RNC. Notwithstanding who the chair is, the vice chair, the day-to-day it will be run by the campaign. I think it's a good sign because in 2020, the RNC did not seem to me to understand the legal threats, to understand the get out the vote problems. So I think the campaign, maybe they learned from 2020, has learned that lesson, and the RNC will go gangbusters. But the money shows you where the energy is going. It's just the way it is in politics. And I think that's what we're headed towards now, a slugfest. Both parties are well-funded. Both candidates are settled. It's going to be a six-month slugfest.
But Woodrow, is it kind of unrealistic to think, even though the Trump family has taken over, is it unrealistic to think that those Never Trump faction has just disappeared or now going to be silent?
Well, Scotty, I just think that this whole so-called division is really overblown. We're not a monolithic movement. The conservatives are not monolithic in thought. We're individualistic by nature. So this idea that there's any real division is frankly ludicrous. We're not a party of snowflakes. We debate. We have different ideas. I'm confident, just like in 2016, Republicans will come together and they'll support President Trump.
Well, it's interesting. So, Angela, do you think it's a good idea to have a family member in the highest female position in the GOP? I mean, does this not make it look more like a dynasty for Republicans?
No, not at all. Look, no stone was left unturned this round. President Trump wanted to make sure that every single fraction of the new Republican Party was covered and in his control. Look what he's done in the last 2 years. You know, with the he started with the midterm elections, making sure that the right people got into Congress. Now he's doing the same thing with the Senate and governor's races and all the down ballot racing. You know, he's supported candidates that are America First. Now he's taken over fundraising and the RNC because Ronna McDaniels, quite honestly, was not fundraising. Remember, even back in January, there was only $9.1 million in the bank accounts of the RNC. Well, that's crazy for a presidential election year. So he had to do something about that. He gave Ronna a chance, but ultimately it doesn't matter. He trusts his daughter-in-law. And Michael Wadley is going to do a fantastic job since they've gotten in. They've cleaned house. They've gotten rid of at least 60 members that were clogging the pipeline and were able to raise over $60 million. Come on, that's an amazing feat for the very first month they've been on the job. I would hire her.
Well, that's the thing. Ed Woodrow pointed out that he felt like it might be overblown, this divide. But Republican voters are definitely in some ways not on the same page still with the backing Trump. You know, the latest round of primaries, Nikki Haley still pulled double digits. In Wisconsin, Haley won nearly 13% of the vote. Rhode Island, Haley is looking to pick up a delegate with her nearly 11% of the vote. Haley won 12% of the vote in bright blue New York, Trump's native home place, while Trump won the 82%. Nikki's still garnering 14% of the votes in Connecticut to Trump's nearly 78%, with Haley still acting as a thorn in Trump's side. Is the party, do you think, able to really, like you said, coalesce, focus on the future Trump presidency, or are they worried about these protest vote within the RNC when they get to Milwaukee?
Well, first of all, everybody should know that's viewing this program that the conventions, both Democrat and Republican, they are rigged and fixed. They're over. There's no such thing as an open convention. There's no such thing as somebody making a motion on the floor. It's just a made-for-TV spectacle, and it's meant to galvanize fundraising, actually, among other things. So don't think about that. Look, Nikki Haley, her name is on the ballot, but she's not campaigning. In a lot of the places where she gets votes, she gets, admittedly, they say Democrats are going across to, especially when she was running, across to vote. I agree with my colleagues. It's Trump's party. Anybody who's never Trump is not a Republican anymore. They've already been baked in. People know Bill Kristol and others. What's much more interesting right now is that younger people and African Americans and Latinos are looking at Trump differently because they're seeing the chaos of Biden. Remember, when you're in the big chair like Biden is, you get blamed for everything. That's just the way it works. You can say, oh, I wish if Trump was in, he would have done this or that or the other thing. I think it's much more important for people to realize no matter what the Biden administration says about jobs or the economy, the American people feel like we're in the wrong direction. That's an opening for Trump. But don't be fooled. The country's divided. It's 45% one party, 45% the other. The 10% in the middle, probably less than that, flopping around. There's not a lot of movement in there, and it's only in 7 or 8 states. But if you're betting and you watch the flow, it's a Trump election cycle right now. All the things are right. Forget about never Trumpers or anybody else. It's not real. It's not real numbers, and it's not going to matter in November.
Okay, so that's the thing. Not many people, in fact, you're not hearing this very much discussed about, and I'm a conservative coming at this. Woodrow, what happens if Trump doesn't win in November? Will Laura remain at the RNC, or will that be the ultimate awkward political moment for time?
Well, again, I think it's just important to note that in 2012, Barack Obama almost lost the state of Arkansas. A unknown opponent got 42% of the vote. So again, this whole line of thinking is really just kind of, I don't even know where it comes from. So as far as what happens at the RNC, I mean, that's just such a wild thing to speculate about. I'm pretty confident Trump's going to win.
Well, I love your confidence. But once again, this is still the party that for the last 4 years has said that it was taken from him. The Trump still claims the election was rigged. Who's to say that they might not have that claim again? But Angie, Trump is elected. A new poll from the Wall Street Journal says found President Joe Biden is currently behind Trump in these swing states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, and North Carolina. In Wisconsin, Biden and Trump were tied at 46%. All of these states, aside from North Carolina, had gone to Biden in 2020. Now, Jill Biden is actually insisting her husband is not losing in these battleground, despite polling. Take a listen.
He's losing in all the battleground states.
No, he's not losing in all the battleground states. He's coming up. Once people start to focus in and they see their two choices, It's obvious that Joe will win this election.
Angie, I don't think Jill would go on national television and say, yeah, Joe is losing. But what do you feel like is the chances of Trump actually beating Biden in the general if everything stays exactly as it is right now?
Well, if everything stays exactly the same, we know we have a Trump win. If the guy is breathing in November, Trump wins. Look, this is Jill Biden going on CBS News talking about how great Joe is. It's the same thing as MSNBC telling me how great the economy is. They have to gaslight you into thinking everything is going in their favor. What I enjoy about the close race is that we're going to get people out to vote because clearly, we can now see the momentum behind Trump and not for Biden. We saw in the primaries, we saw rage voting from Republicans going out to vote for Trump, right? I did not see the same thing in the blue states. There was no rage voting going to Biden. In fact, if you got a few people there in the polls, you're happy. No one showed up. And that is what I think we're going to continue to see for the general election in November. Now, I think also that, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen in 6 months. This is a very strange election cycle. We're going to see all sorts of weird stuff happen. We're going to see not just an October surprise, but a May, June, July, August surprise every single month. And it's, you know, remember, Trump is still in, he's got a lot of legal battles ahead of him. We thought we had kind of cleared a path for him, but it looks like those cases are coming back around. And I don't think that, you know, he's going to be able to escape some of that. So we're going to watch those very, very carefully. But meanwhile, right now, President Trump has the momentum. I just really hope that he sticks to that all the way up to November 5th.
I feel like Republicans have a little PTSD following the coronavirus and what happened that year with the election side. Thank you, Woodrow, Angela, and Ed. I want you to stay right there because the presidency is not the only place the Republican Party is split. What is the conservative movement going to look like after the 2024 election, regardless if they are successful in reclaiming the White House? We're going to continue the discussion about the infighting in Congress after a short break.
Among the casualties as a result of Israel's genocidal assault on Gaza include suspension of international humanitarian law, but also free speech across the Western world. Perversely, being pro-Palestinian and pro-peace is condemned as anti-Semitic.
On March the 22nd, 1943, During the Great Patriotic War, the Schutzenmannschaft Battalion 118 burned down the Belarusian village of Khatyn.
Мы на улице играли, а потом пришли, победили, вышли на улицу и начали стрелять. Как начали стрелять, так у нас тут это кругом пули летели.
149 people died, including 75 children. The village was practically wiped off the face of the earth.
Пламя было, зарево было. Очень кричали, плакали. Но люди были порасползавши, вот, горелые. А живые там никто не остался.
The infamous battalion responsible for the atrocity included over 100 Ukrainian nationalists from Western Ukraine.
И когда я прочитал и увидел, что это были украинцы, и там все были украинцы и по рождению, и по национальности, я спросил у нее, а почему нам об этом не рассказывают нигде никогда?
Declassified criminal cases from the Central Archive of the KGB of Belarus shed light on the atrocity and answer numerous questions that have remained unanswered for many years. Watch on RT.
The United States tried to impose sanctions on Russia. That's the best thing that could have happened to Russia, because the sanctions on Russia against agriculture, against other items, made Russia produce its own food, its own agriculture. And now it's the major grain exporter, no longer dependent on the United States and Europe.
This isn't a Republican speaker we have right now. This is a Democrat speaker of the House.
Welcome back. You're watching 360 View, and I'm Scotty Nell Hughes. You know, it's not just a divide with the race for president ripping apart the Republican Party. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene is fulfilling her promise and calling for the ousting of House Speaker Mike Johnson. Now, this is following his working with Democrats to avoid the government shutdown, which also included another large package of money being given as aid to Ukraine.
To fund the murder every single day, to fund a war, to pay for it, to continue it, to advise it, to have our CIA on the ground over there running that war in Ukraine against Russia, nuclear-armed Russia. This is beyond this. You can't even call yourself a Christian if that's what you're doing.
Well, they might be late to the party, but I'm glad they're finally speaking it. But Democrats are actually signaling they would actually support keeping Johnson as speaker as long as he continues to support the budget, which includes the millions of dollars in Ukrainian aid.
It's time for my House Republican colleagues who believe that supporting Ukraine is the right thing to do to break with the pro-Putin MAGA extremists who are ascendant in their conference and partner with us to do the right thing.
But if Johnson is able to hold on to the speakership, it might only be for a short term, as it is looking more likely Republicans will actually lose the House in the November elections. But just as likely, they will gain the Senate. And with Mitch McConnell planning to retire at the end of the term, there is a new race for potential majority leader within the Republican Party. I'm going to continue our discussion regarding the new RNC trying to wrangle the splintering Republican Party. I welcome back our panel. Woodrow Johnson, GOO strategist and CEO of Revere Strategies. Angela Wong, co-host of The Final Countdown. And Ed Martin, president of the Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. Thanks for staying with me on this. I'm going to start with you, Woodrow, because Johnson has said he consults Trump on spending negotiation. It actually led to the border bill not being passed through Congress. Do you think Trump is in his ear telling him to fund or defund Ukraine?
Well, I'm sure that conversation's happening, but I couldn't speak to what exactly they're talking about.
Well, but that's the thing, Ed, because Johnson has actually tried to unite this party, especially when he came in. He specifically told members of Congress to endorse incumbents for the 2024 election. However, those that are unhappy with his leadership, which include Matt Gaetz, Bill Klein, Marjorie Taylor Greene, have dissented by endorsing other candidates. Should the RNC get involved, and how should they respond with Trump now at the helm?
Look, the RNC is now Trump. So as I tell people all the time, if you want to endorse against Trump, have at it. He has a record of winning in primaries that is almost second to none. So I think Johnson has gone hat in hand to Trump and said, I want to hold the majority. If I hold the majority, it's going to be by getting out the vote, energizing the base. I can't do it by saying regular Republican talking points. I need you, Trump. I need the energy of the America First movement, which is, by the way, a movement that says less spending overseas and more spending in America, less wars, and more of our focus on ourselves. But I got to say this. Johnson is in a tough position. It's almost impossible, I have to say. It's such a narrow majority, and he's trying the best he can. He is a conservative, but the swamp swallows you up. So they're arguing to give Israel money, even though Israel can borrow money better than we can. They're arguing to give Ukraine money. And look, the Democrats, the party that is being torn apart by the issues internationally, because Hakeem Jeffries may be on the take for all the big money that wants to spend it on military and build and military industrial complex. He is clearly in the tank. He wants to be speaker. He wants that money. Regular Democrats are at war with each other over Gaza, over war. And so I think the Republicans should stand back and say, look, we want to be safe in the world. We don't want to fund more. Don't fall for the talking points. The Russia, Russia, Russia hoax nonsense doesn't work. Ken Buck, the congressman from Colorado, total wimp. Total quitter. He pulled a Paul Ryan by quitting because instead of running and fighting, he quit. And when he quit, he says, huh, Russia's telling people what to do. He's a liar. He's a fraud. He's a quitter. He's a coward. If you're going to stay and fight, make an argument. Make an argument that you think somehow wasting money in Kyiv for Zelensky and his corrupt guys is somehow stopping war. It's not. It's a lie. It's a fraud. So most of the world is looking at it saying, hey, we just need a new president. He's going to go in, and in 10 minutes, he's going to say to Putin, he's going to say to Zelensky, stop the war, divide up the thing, stop killing all your people. And he's going to look at the country and say, you want to rebuild bridges? You want to try to stop fentanyl? You want to do the border? Let's do that. So Johnson is playing for, by the way, I disagree, Scotty, that if Trump wins the election, the House is Republican, maybe narrowly, but right now the House is guaranteed to be, if Trump wins, it'll be Republican. And the Senate is clearly, everybody knows, look, they're making Justice Sotomayor, 69-year-old woman, answer questions about why she won't retire, because they know they're about to lose the Senate. So the Democrats are at war with each other. We should all stand back, not fight any more wars, not fund any more wars, and let them fight about it. And don't fall for all the talking points. I like Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's a fighter for J6. But in this case, she's really just getting attention for herself. She's not necessarily building a coalition.
Well, Ed, I think Republicans love your optimism on that, and I think they like it. But Angie, isn't one of the reasons why the Republicans might be losing the House, that rebellion going to be happening, is because they continue to go along with the funding of these wars? It almost seems like they're missing the point. If they would just simply say, like Ed said, take Ed's advice and focus on America first and get out of that spending, they would win. And yet they're not doing it. So why is that message not being sent to the Republicans like Johnson, like stop this and you might actually have a chance of saving the House?
Well, I think Mike Johnson is in a terrible position and he knows it. We may have to actually lose the messaging on Ukraine. We may actually have to give money there, not because we want to, but because we have to win other areas, and Democrats will not let up on that. I know that's not America First. I don't like saying it either, but look at what's happened. You have Mike Gallagher, who's about to leave as well, which leaves the House majority with one seat. And that is currency.
What is that, Ed?
These are cowards. He's a coward and a quitter. He wants to take on China, but he's so upset he's going to go quit early so he can get a big deal. He's out of the intelligence. He's an old intelligence apparatchik. He doesn't like to have to fight. Look, Paul Ryan quit as speaker and took $9 million with him and set up his own slush fund that's run as a 501c3 or 4 for him and all his staff to get paid. Well, these guys are fraudulent liars, and they need to be called that to their face. Look, Johnson needs the money to run races. I get it. But the fact is this. if we run Canada, most of the seats in the House are already gerrymandered. They're all safe. All the Democrats are safe. All the Republicans. There's 30 that are at risk. They're going to be Republicans by a large majority, if Trump is running and winning. That's just how it works, guys. It doesn't matter. The rest of it is nonsense and debates. And to Angie's point, get through this period. Hopefully don't start a world war. Don't fall for stupid arguments. And get a new president who will set an agenda that is actually America first. The rest of it is all liars like Gallagher and Paul Ryan and everybody else.
Well, and yet they're still somewhat around the Republican Party while Democrats seem to escort them out. Woodrow, I'm going to go with you on the last question on that. President Joe Biden is seen in polling just hemorrhaging this minority vote. He set out on a swing state tour trying to appeal to Latino voters by going to a Mexican restaurant in Arizona. Watch him just completely out of touch.
You know, I need you. I need you badly. I need the help. Kamala and I desperately need your help.
Yeah, he just completely deadpanned that. Meanwhile, Trump is actually set to win the largest percentage of the black vote for any Republican presidential nominee in history. Is diversity or minority recruitment going to continue to be a priority post-election for Republicans if that's what actually helps boost them over the finish line with a win?
Absolutely, it should be. And frankly, Joe Biden's losing white Catholics, too. I mean, we saw the same type of outreach to white Catholics as well. Frankly, you know, the values of black voters, the values of Hispanic voters, they're conservative values. They just either and they're starting to realize that they don't like paying taxes. They're socially conservative. They are not happy with the direction this country is going, and they see it. And they have seen now in their lifetime what a Biden presidency looks like and what a Trump presidency looks like. And they know that they were better under Trump.
Well, I want to thank all three of you because this is definitely a conversation that people are having. And once again, I think that the one thing we can agree on is there's not as much of a divide as people want us to be, except that thorn still is going to be there. And until it's completely removed, it probably will need to be addressed in the room. Thank you so much. Woodrow Johnson, Ghost Strategies and CEO of Revere Strategies, Angela Wong, co-host of The Final Countdown, and Ed Martin, president of the Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, for joining me today. Now, political parties can change, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're predictable. It's not unusual for a political party and those who are elected under their umbrella to work hand in hand. But what makes this era different is in modern times, America has never had a presidential campaign which has recently lost take over a political party almost completely. So when you have a campaign and a political party intertwined, it amplifies the risk of major destruction to that party if the campaign loses. Now, I understand why winning is the only focus, but when you have a candidate like Donald Trump, who has often spoke or alluded to fraud in the last election cycle, yet very little has been done legislatively since to restore faith or integrity in U.S. elections, not having a contingency plan is not only irresponsible, but puts the two-party political system completely at risk of obliteration. Then all we are left with is the short term is one choice. And democracy becomes replaced by a dictatorship. I'm Skye Nohues, and this has been Your 360 View. Thank you for watching.